The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good afternoon, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Deborah Flora one more time today here on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. Great to be with you one more time this afternoon. Of course, I host the Jimmy Sangenberger Show every Saturday morning from 6 until 9 here on 710 KNUS. And there are lots of ways to get in touch with the program, including texting in on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. Name and town, please, if you wish to text in. And our telephone number, of course, 303-696-1971. So we're going to talk about the clown show in Denver Public Schools last night at their Board of Education meeting this hour. And we're going to talk about it because I went downtown to the meeting that was scheduled for 4:30 yesterday, and I arrived, I don't know, I think it was about 5:30 or a little after 5:30. And I was just curious. Okay, they had this meeting. We talked about it on the show on Thursday and Friday. We broadcast some of the work session last Thursday here on the show when I filled in for Deborah. And I was like, okay, we had this meeting last Thursday where they talked about school resource officers and whether or not to bring them back and plans and proposals. They didn't have any next steps. I was confused. But it turns out it's because they didn't actually accomplish anything with that meeting. So I wanted to go down and see, okay, what's the sense of the room? What are people going to say? What's that going to be like? So I went down there, and when I arrived, the chief of police for DPD, Chief Ron Thomas, was there presenting and engaging with board members. And it wasn't long after I arrived that he was basically being lectured at by one of the board members, Michelle Quattlebaum, who really was talking in opposition to SROs, raising all sorts of questions. And eventually, she went on for like 18 minutes. And only asked a few questions, sort of, to Chief Thomas, who basically got two and a half minutes, by my count, out of that entire 18 minutes. And at some point, Sochi Gaitan, the president of the school board, tries to get her to stop. In fact, here's a little snippet of that portion.
Thank you, Dr. Smith, for that information.
Secretary Quattlebaum, you didn't have the floor.
I do want to go back to...
Secretary Quattlebaum, you did not have the floor.
I do want to go back
Secretary
to what
Quattlebaum,
I mentioned.
Let her speak.
And that is...
You did not have the
that
floor.
That our black students, by and large, will not share. They do not feel safe speaking their truth. So they are going along to get along.
And that was actually the second time that President Gaitan tried to engage with her. It was earlier that she said, hey, can you please wrap up your comments? And she went for another 3 or 4 minutes, Quattlebaum did, basically talking at the chief of police, who was there as part of this SRO discussion in the superintendent's time, giving an update. And when they brought out this, was it Dr. Smith, to talk about the survey results, that's what happened there when she jumped in. And it wasn't her time to talk. And then at a later point, when she was persistent in speaking up, Quattlebaum's mic was cut. And then later, Tay Anderson, who was expressing opposition to Quattlebaum's mic being cut, got his mic cut. Here's a sample of him getting a little...
Respectfully, Dr. Marrero, I have to just... You're not going to do this to me. You will not do this to me.
Would you please follow procedure and ask for the floor?
I'm not doing this with you today because this is about our black students.
Vice President Anderson.
When we talk about the systems, cut the mic. When we talk about these systems, and arrest me if you want to. So bring the security. When we talk about these systems, that about trusting what didn't work, just because we have new faces doesn't mean that we trust what you're going to do and what is going to be better. Mm-hmm.
And earlier when Quattlebaum's mic was cut off after, by the way, she spent like 25 minutes talking by the time her mic was cut off, by my recollection and count, Anderson called it oppressive. Funny how that becomes oppressive from a school board member who was using significant amount of time. But then it got even more interesting when a mother who's a member of Democratic Socialists of America and was wearing a T-shirt for this, I think best described as a very far left group entitled Movimiento Poder. There were a lot of folks there from this left wing activist group wearing these yellow shirts for Movimiento Poder. And this mother, Miss Giles, got up and she gave her testimony. And then I think it was her two children that were supposed to testify after her, but they weren't there. So she insisted on getting 6 minutes of silence for reflection on the previous speakers, who would have reflected, expressed basically what her kids would have expressed basically with those previous speakers. Said, here's what happened there.
This may upset some of you, and I'm sorry about that. But what I'm going to do is say Mila and Taya Osowski-Giles are behind me. They are not. They are out of town today and unfortunately couldn't speak. And it sounds like I'm not able to speak for them, so I'm going to take their 6 minutes, and I'm going to let you reflect on what Sky and Rowan and Alexander said, because their time would have been spent that way.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
She's still standing there.
Thank you. That's all the time you have. So
yes,
up next,
we're taking Mila and Taya's time to reflect.
We cannot do that unless they're here present. So thank you very much. We appreciate your comments. Right now we'll go to Dominic Rodriguez. Dominic.
That is the Movimiento Poder crowd clapping.
Would you please let Dominic speak now?
And so then she allows this student, Dominic, to speak. And then after that, the president, Xochitl Gaitán, calls up the next few speakers, including my guest here in studio, Alverda Simmons, who spoke while Ms. Giles was standing next to him. And he didn't mince his words. Here's a little bit of what Alverda Simmons had to say.
I come here to show my support for SROs. Well, this is a clown show. All this bickering back and forth. People don't want to respect authority. That's why the kids don't respect, because y'all don't. Sit down. Everybody got their opportunity. Let folks go about their business and everybody be respectful. So everybody's got to show respect to get their point across, and then we got to do something about it. School board, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Alverda Simmons is a longtime civil rights activist in Denver. He's author of the book Hold Your Position, and next week, we're going to talk about it later, has a very important camp that he's done in summers for nearly 20 years, I think.
This will be our 17th year.
17 years. I'm looking forward to talking about it coming in a little bit. Alverda Simmons, good to have you back here in studio on 710 KNUS. Thanks for taking some time.
Thank you, Jimmy, for having me.
So I think I laid things out, some of the key parts, pretty well in trying to explain what was happening. Could you make heads or tails of it? What was going on last night at this board meeting?
I didn't understand what they were doing, Jimmy. It didn't make any sense to me. They were supposed to be professional people, directors and secretaries that they call themselves, whatever titles that they have. But at the end of the day, they weren't no... Their conduct was just about as bad as being as the Crips and the Bloods. And I told them yesterday, that's what the Bloods and Crips say, you're set tripping. And that's what they were doing. They were the board members were set tripping. They were, you know, I'm over here on this side, I'm over here on that side, I'm with the SROs, I'm not with the SROs. But what about the kids? Because that's what it amounts to. And, you know, I didn't have time to sit there and play with that mother and whatever she was doing. Okay, you know, you can stand there all you want, but I know how to speak. And I've been doing this a long time. I've led over 1,000 marches and protests in this town in the last 20 years. Nobody has done more. I get it when it comes to our kids. And like last night, you know, was shameful. Like I said, I mean, you know, why in the world would you be you're there to try to get a point across, and you're there to try to make a decision on whether or not DPS should bring the SROs back into the building. You know, to me, the superintendent, he didn't have enough guts, I don't think, to tell Tay Anderson and that other group of people to sit down and be mindful, be responsible, be respectful. If nothing else, the president of the school, of the DPS, Soshi, I thought she was, when she asked to cut that mic or however that was going on, she did the right thing, but she needed a bell. Something to, you know, give them some time, and then when that time is up, you guys got to sit down. But DPS, Tay Anderson, Michelle, you guys, listen. And Michelle came out and talked to me afterwards. She said, I didn't mean any disrespect. And I think she was sincere about that. I just think she's misguided. But at the end of the day, you know, you guys have people out in the public watching you. Probably it was on television last night, because I think it was live. And they saw how you all conduct your business. And that was just a bunch of foolishness, you know. And at the end of the day, you're not going to save our kids doing what you all did last night. You got to have some order within yourself to ask the kids to have order. DPS board, you must have order.
What you're just saying, Alverda Simmons, is something very basic. You need to model the behavior you want your students, the young people in your school district, to
very
exemplify.
They're very impressionable. There were a lot of them there. I was surprised that I didn't see a lot of young black men, a lot of young brown men who this affects. I saw a lot of white folks there who were talking for black people, you know, and that's just not going to cut it, you know. So, DPS, if you really want to hear what's going on and whether or not SRO, I know some tough guys at these different schools that talk to me, you know, and they tell me, you know, we wouldn't bring a gun to the school, if we knew that there were armed police officers. You know, that would be foolish of us. And we, you know, Michelle was trying to tell me about, you know, mass shooting that the Uvalde, they had, you know, the SRO didn't go in. I said they were scared. And she talked about Columbine, and that the first person that was killed was the SRO. Okay, but from what I understand, that was a mass shooting.
Right.
And so that's something different than a kid having a gun in school.
When I had you in studio, I was filling in for George Brockler, and you were in studio along with Charmaine Lindsay,
who's
a member of the
yes.
school board.
Yes.
And she made that point on this program. She said, look, when you are talking about SROs, that's not the same thing as a mass shooting. This is a very right. different kind of circumstance.
Yeah.
And what we're talking about in Denver is not the horrifying mass shootings that we have had. It
Thank
is
God.
Kids bringing guns onto school grounds in ever-growing yeah. numbers and other weapons.
That's what we're talking about. You mentioned it, Charmaine. You know, to me, Charmaine and Soshi, they seem to have the most sense when it comes to dealing with our kids. You know, I don't know about Scott and all those. I didn't hear them talk. But, as the president, she's doing the best she can. She needs help. And Charmaine, you know, she's there for the kids, which we certainly appreciate. But I asked Michelle, I said, Michelle, what's the issue there? Why aren't you not in support of SRO? She said to me that we're fighting the wrong fight. I said, well, what's the right fight then? And she said that we should be fighting to keep kids from getting tickets and not getting into black and brown kids from getting into the criminal justice system. Okay, I get that. So this is what I say. If you got SROs who are targeting black and brown kids, get them out. Get them out your school. The principals have that right. Give them some autonomy. Get them out of your school. But you don't, you can't put a balance on a ticket and a life. A ticket and a life. That's and last night I asked the board, I said, you all are clowning like y'all doing. Some of y'all are grandstanding the whole nine yards. Is this about the safety of our kids or the safety of your careers? You have to ask that question, Jimmy.
I think it's such an important one because what you're asking fundamentally is, what are your real motivations? Why are you on the board? What is your intent here? And especially when you're not focusing on the issues that are going on as far as actually delving into a discussion about SROs, about having a discipline policies and so forth, but instead you are taking the better part of 18 minutes to lecture at the chief of police, as Michelle Quattlebaum did, or you are shouting about who knows what from a personal, emotional
white
standpoint.
White supremacy. She mentioned that several times. She mentioned the word white supremacy. And I don't understand the context in that, but she did. But you know what? I want to do say this, though. I felt bad for my friend, Chief Thomas. He and I go way back to the Weed and Seed program 20-something years ago. You know, I did neighborhood watch, and he was always a police officer. But at the end of the day, you know, I felt bad for my brother because he did not get a chance to express why he was there. He started out a little bit, and then Michelle went into her tantrum, and then Tay started, you know, talking about how good of a person that Chief Thomas was. But then he started berating him and telling him his officers were not going to be, you know, new faces are not going to do it. You heard the cut. Mm-hmm. New faces are not going to do it. Well, we've got to trust somebody. And it's just sad the way that board, you know, handled itself last night.
One thing that I found is important that I noticed was while the school board president, Xochi Gaitán, did cut the mics of Michelle Quattlebaum and a little bit after Tay Anderson. And yeah. I think we both agree that it was appropriate.
Yeah, sure.
At that point, it was appropriate for her to do so.
Right.
I would like to see her colleagues, the other school board members who weren't engaging in the antics on the stage, say, look, we need to get control of this meeting and speak up as well.
That's why I just said that. That's exactly what I said. I mentioned the superintendent, whether
you mentioned the superintendent and Xochi Gaitán. Right. I'm also talking about the other school members.
No, I agree with you. I agree. I thought that somebody else was going to stand up and say, hey, no, this is not how we're going to conduct business tonight. We're going to do it the right way. We're going to be respectful. What happened to that? Tay jumped up. I thought he was a Superman or something. The way he jumped up and told everybody, you know, to arrest me. Man, cut all that out. Nobody wants to arrest
listen
you.
Listen again. This was Tay Anderson.
Respectfully, Dr. Marrero, I have to just... you're not going to do this
Anderson,
to me. You will not do this to me.
Would
so
you please follow
when we
procedure
talk,
and
when
ask
we talk
for
about,
the floor.
I'm not doing this with you today please. Because this is about our black students.
Vice President
when
Anderson.
When we talk about the systems, cut the mic. When we talk about these systems, and arrest me if you want to. So bring the security. When we talk about these systems.
I mean, these are school board members. That's a school board member there. And when Michelle Quattlebaum's mic was cut off before, he hopped off the stage and went over to the side in the staff and was shouting at them and then went back up onto the stage.
But is that how a vice president of a school board conducts itself? Denver, Colorado, if this is how your school board conducts itself, your vice president and other board members, and you got to take a hard look at yourself, you know. And, you know, you're lucky, school board, that I got other things to do because I would run and I would beat them. And there's no question about that because I care about the kids. I've been around a long time. I know what it takes, you know. But, you know, I got so many other fights to do in this community. You know, our kids are dying. We got to figure out a way to save our kids. That's really what it comes down to.
Absolutely right. Alverda Simmons, longtime civil rights activist, joining us here in studio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll pick up the conversation on the other side and also talk a little bit about why he's in favor of restoring school resource officers to Denver high school campuses to provide much needed additional safety and security for kids who are just there to learn. Keep it here. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Deborah Flora. News Talk 710 KNUS. Thanks, Jib, for plugging this tune in. Bluesman Byther Smith with a little Alverda Simmons thrown in the mix. You ought to be ashamed. I had that in mind regarding Denver School Board last night. And Alverda Simmons joining us here in studio. He's longtime civil rights activist in Denver, author of the book Hold Your Position. And Alverdis, you of course, we played a clip. I'll probably play an excerpt here in a moment again. You testified last night and you scolded the board in public comment and said, this is a clown show.
Right.
You know, the word dysfunction has been thrown out quite a bit in talking about the school board. And yet, last night to me transcended dysfunction, transcended grandstanding, and went into the territory of a complete breakdown in civility and civil discourse, just a complete breakdown in it.
Yeah, you're right. You're correct, but you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
You know, I understand. I was there last night. You know, I wasn't there for that foolishness, but I was there to lend my support for SROs being back into
school
our
school resource officers. Yeah.
School resource officers.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because okay. DPS, the Denver School Board, removed SROs back in 2020. They didn't have a replacement plan in place. And then amidst all the issues that have come in the aftermath of COVID-19, the situation has gotten beyond tenuous. Guns showing up on campuses, shootings on and off of campuses. We had at least one death in Luis Garcia outside of East High School back in February. That was absolutely tragic. And SROs, to me, are an essential part. One piece, not the whole thing, but one piece in providing additional safety so that kids can learn. Why are you supportive, especially when we hear a lot of talk from the perspective of school resource officers are racist or this is some kind of an oppressive system? Why are you supportive as a civil rights activist of SROs?
You know, some of them probably are racist. I'm not going to say that's not the case. You know, but what I am saying, though, is SROs are needed because we've got to have an authoritative presence in our community, in our schools. You know, back when I was coming up, that SRO used to be called officer friendly because he would be friendly with the students, and you know, you would be able to go up to him or her and tell them what's going on. And, you know, not so much be labeled a snitch, but, hey, you know, this is what's going on in the school. And it was helpful because if you got caught outside on curfew or whatever, they would give you, you know, a break, you know, send you home to your parents instead of sending you to juvenile hall. I know a lot of kids would like that to happen. But I would love to see the SROs back because I know so many of them, you know, they were in the school, especially at East High, and they treated the kids well. The kids knew them. They knew their parents. The SRO knew the kids' parents. And instead of giving the kids a ticket, they give them a lecture. Hey, you know, which one do you want, a ticket or you want the lecture? And if I got to give you more than a lecture, I'm going to call your mom and your dad or your grandmama or your uncle. You know, that's how we do it in our black and brown community. We are a family. So we have to, you know, we don't mind talking to our young man's uncle or auntie or grandmama or grandma. And in some instances, the SROs know the family members. And they know them because some of them come through my basketball camp. The SROs have told me, you know, they've stopped a few guys, a few kids, you know, after curfew. But they, and the guy says, hey, I remember you went to Simmons' basketball camp. He says, yeah. He said, okay, you know, go home. Now, that's what you want. You don't want to go to juvenile hall. You want to go home, but don't be caught out here again, that kind of thing. So it's just so important. And then the kids tell you, they would rather see an armed police officer in the school knowing that now nobody else is going to have that same gun or a gun because they know that police officer is there with a gun. And that police officer also is their friend or knows them. Not friends so much you look the other way if there's a crime being committed. We're not talking about that kind of friend. We're talking about somebody to talk to, somebody to go to if you're being bullied. If you've been, you know, maybe you don't have lunch money that day, that kind of friend. That's what I'm talking about. And you're still safe.
Well, and then there's this is the big piece when it comes to the guns in school grounds, the deterrent effect. Okay, there's a law enforcement officer that's here who is armed. I know that that's the case. I might be less inclined to bring a gun to school.
I just said that. I agree with you. I agree
fundamentally, because you're addressing a bunch of different points, which is part of the point, that it's not just about deterrent on guns, but it's also about providing that sort of authority figure that can represent a following the law and the
that's
need
right.
to do those things properly, somebody you can go to when you're in trouble, especially when there's so much animosity towards police. I understand some of the rationale behind it, why that's the case. But you have that animosity. Why not use this as an opportunity to build bridges, get them back in schools and get them in schools with the right kind of circumstance and the right kind of agreement with the police department so you're fostering something that's beneficial for all?
I've been asked so many times, are you anti-cop? And I'm not anti-cop. I'm anti-road cop, you know? And that's just all it is to it. Then, then I was asked, especially in graduate school, should Denver, the black community, Northeast Denver, have more black cops? And what I say, and I've said it for 20 years, and I'll continue to say it, it's not so much that we need more black cops. We need cops that care. I don't give a damn what color you are. If you care about our community, that's who we want. Because that baton upside the head, when you sick that dog on us, when you base us, or you call us out of our name and talk about our mamas and our daddies, you know, at the end of the day, that still hurts. Mm-hmm. Whether it comes from a white cop, a black cop, a blue cop, a green cop. So I like to see police officers that care. Of course we need black police officers. There's no question about that. To show our young kids that you can, you know, work in the field and still be productive.
Look at the chief of police.
Yeah, the chief.
You have a black chief of police in Denver
right now.
Like, and that is an important representation.
A black mayor, black chief of police. We get that. And obviously that's about to change, but hopefully Ron keeps his job. But if he doesn't, you know, he's going to land on his feet. You know, so we don't worry.
Yeah, with the changing of the guard, whoever ends up elected mayor today,
it is election day.
Alverta Simmons in studio, longtime civil rights activist Jimmy Sengenberger filling in for Deborah Flora. I want to play a clip here. This is from last Thursday when the board met in an executive in a work session talking about SROs, and they ended up not moving forward with anything. It was confusing where the meeting went. But this is, since you spoke with her yesterday after the meeting, Albertus, Michelle Quattlebaum, talking a bit about race and SROs and what she says this discussion really is about. I want to get your reaction.
We are talking about policing black children. That is what we're talking about. We are talking about, without saying it, we are talking about how do we make sure that white students are safe when they're in school with black students. That's really the conversation that we're having. But we're trying not to have it. And I'm tired of it. Let's have it. If we're going to have a conversation, let us have the conversation. Let us not lie to ourselves about what we're really talking about.
I was stunned hearing that, where she was literally saying, how do we make white students feel safe around black students? That's what SROs coming back to school is about. That's not what it's about. No. It's about protecting all kids, regardless of their race.
No, I agree. I don't understand what she meant by that either. But, you know, again, that goes back to that white supremacy statement she made, because we understand that there's white supremacy in this country, in this city, and in this town. We get that. But, you know, we've got to just go beyond that, get past that, you know, get past that by working with each other and trying to make a difference. You know, We don't want our kids to be getting these tickets, and especially, if, you know, that'll get them involved in the criminal justice system. We get that. So it also goes back to the parents. We can't just leave the parents out. We just ain't on the school board.
Yes.
It's on the parents. Mm-hmm. And you know if that kid is coming in your house that you are head of, and he has a gun or he has some dope or whatever, parent, you know that. You gotta put your foot down and
Albertus,
say, you can't do this.
How are kids who are under the age of 18 getting access to firearms anyway? How are they able to get a gun to go to school? It's either because of a friend or they're part of a gang
right.
or it's their parents not
right.
responsibly keeping those guns in a place where they're secured. And that latter piece comes down to the parent.
There's 4 years ago when I was working for Mayor Hancock to get reelected, I used to carry these young kids around with me. Coach Carey turned me on to them, and I used to have them work for me at that time. And so one day, it was payday, and I told the kids, I said, you know, we're not going to work. It's a Friday. We're not going to do anything today. Let's go to Dairy Queen and do what young kids do, you know, as a banana split or, you know, whatever, you know, ice cream cone. They said, okay. They called me coach. Okay, coach. So we went to Dairy Queen. And so I go up to order food, but I said, I don't know what they really want. Let me go back and ask them. So I go back to where they were sitting there and ask them. I said, well, where is so-and-so? And nobody said anything. So I said it again. Well, where is so-and-so? And they say he's in the bathroom. So I said, okay. So I go in the bathroom. I open the door. He turns around and sees me, drops his gun, hits the floor. The gun spins around. And stopped. And I said, hey, man, what are you doing with that gun? Coach, I you need it for what? You're 14 years old. What do you need a gun for? I'm being picked on. I'm being bullied at school. I said, well, whatever happened to going from the shoulders, man? Whatever happened to that? You know, the fight, you know, you fight it out and you move on and you live another day. But you shoot somebody with that gun, your career is over, your life is over, and so is theirs. I said, give me that gun. So I took the gun and I disassembled it. And, you know, I told a couple of police officers later on this story, but I didn't want to get the kid was on probation.
Yeah.
So if I'd have called the cops, he would have went to jail. And I didn't want to do that, but I did fire him and told him he could come back around me. But, you know, one thing about it, Jimmy, he had the gun for the whole month that he was with me on a Friday.
Mm.
I didn't know. I had paid. I was making payday. He had the gun all the time. He was that scared. But I
How long ago was this?
This was 4 years ago.
Okay.
When last term, Mayor Hancock ran. So, you know, and hey, man, look, my point I'm making is these kids are afraid. But they got to, we as adults have to find a way in which we can convey to them that you don't need a gun to be young.
Yeah. Albertus Simmons joining us here in studio. We have to take a break. We'll go out to an excerpt of his remarks from yesterday's board meeting in Denver Public Schools. I'll play that clip. We'll run to the break when we come back. A final thought. And I want to talk about his camp coming up next week as well. Keep it right here. Jimmy Sengenberger in for Deborah Flora, 710 KNUS.
I come here to show my support for SROs. But this is a clown show. All this bickering back and forth. People don't want to respect authority. That's why the kids don't respect, because y'all don't. Sit down. Everybody got their opportunity. Let folks go about their business and everybody be respectful. So everybody's got to show respect to get their point across, and then we got to do something about it. School board, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Little Molly Hatcher bringing us back. Jimmy Sengenberger in for Deborah Flora. Flirting with disaster, that seems what is always the case when you go to a Denver school board meeting these days. You're flirting with disaster, and that's exactly what we encountered last night at the Denver Public Schools Board of Education public comment section, which took like 2 hours to actually get to public comment. And it was because of something that I say transcends dysfunction, transcends grandstanding. and goes right on into a complete breakdown in civility and discourse. Just a little sample in exchange between the president of the school board, Xochitl Gaitán, and Michelle Quattlebaum, a member
Thank
of the board.
Thank you, Dr.
Secretary.
Smith, for that information.
Secretary Quattlebaum, you didn't have the floor.
I do want to go back to...
Secretary Quattlebaum, you did not have the floor.
I do want to go back
Secretary
to what I mentioned.
Let her speak.
And that is that our black students, by and large, will not share. They do not...
So and that was after she had basically spoken for the better part of 18 minutes directly at the chief of police, who got about two and a half minutes of that time. Alverda Simmons joining us here in studio. And just as we wrap up our discussion on Denver public schools, I mean, the antics that we saw last night were deeply disturbing from the sense of not being willing to or an inability to focus on what matters as far as keeping kids safe, getting focused on those things so that you could focus on academics and you can have all of these important discussions. How can folks out there in the community express their frustration? How can they help to get things done or to get across the point to school board members, this is unacceptable, you need to stop it?
Well, they need to, I believe, have people in the community who look just like me and look like, people in the community who care, like, you know, Professor Richard Jackson, people in the community who want to see a change and are not afraid to speak out. And as long as you speak out with respect and in order, it's okay. But when you speak out with disrespect and disorder, that's where the problem lies. And so, as I said earlier, as I alluded to when I first came in here, how in the world can DPS ask the students of DPS to do the right thing when they won't do the right thing? They are in disarray. And so it was shameful what happened last night. I think I said that. But, you know, our black and brown community need to get together. And, you know, if we got to all get the same kind of T-shirts like they had last night, whatever, you know, makes us all one. At the end of the day, we want our kids to be safe. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, those kids, those folks in those yellow T-shirts, I didn't hear not one time them talk about safety of our kids.
Right.
I heard them talk about everything other than the safety of our kids. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that the other school board members did not check Tay. Mm-hmm. I was surprised they did not check Michelle. I just didn't understand it. So. Mm-hmm. You know, if I have to go back to another school board, you know, and speak out again, I will. But because I care about our kids, and that's why we have this basketball camp coming up.
So that's what I want to get to, especially when you're talking about making a difference in the lives of kids, setting them on the right track for a prosperous future. That includes mentorship.
That's right.
That includes giving them life skills, a sense of community. Tell us about your camp next week.
My camp is the 17th Avenue Simmons Foundation Life Skills / Basketball Camp. We give the kids life skills in the morning and then basketball skills in the afternoon. We have politicians come in. We have bankers come in. We have mental health people come in. We go on field trips, the Colorado Rockies have been a biggest supporter of ours. Jim Kellogg, bless his heart. The Denver Broncos are stepping up. Denver Nuggets, we're going to have Denver Nuggets T-shirts. So if you can't purchase you a T-shirt from Denver Nuggets, we got them at our camp.
Good.
The camp starts from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The camp is free. For the 17th year, we don't charge one dime. We give the kids breakfast in the morning and lunch in the afternoon and a snack to go home with. But if you want to go to the camp, you have to register. And the register is www.sfycbasketballcamp.com. That's www.sfycbasketballcamp.com. And, you know, and then when you go on that site, not only register, but push the donate button. You know, we would like to have your support. This is, we're doing it for the community for all the right reasons. This will be our 17th year. The community appreciates us. And that camp is a signature camp that starts the summer months out, you know, and we're thankful. I appreciate the help that we got, you know, so far, but we certainly, you know, need more. So
I assume with your camp, again, SFYCBasketballCamp.com.
That's right.
You are modeling good behavior for the kids to show here's how you should act day to day.
Right. You know, and it's not easy because, you know, I'm being challenged. I'm always challenged, you know.
We all are.
Right. We all are. So it's not easy. So I'm not going to sit up here and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm just perfect. It's not like that. But I do know right from wrong. I have a master's degree in criminal justice. I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. And I have a PhD from the street. So I get it. I get it, Jimmy, when it comes to our kids. Even though I'm 66, I get it when it comes to our kids. That's why I love doing that camp. That camp is so inspirational. And, you know, we look for, by the way, it's at Carla Madison Rec Center. I forgot to say that. Mm-hmm. Carla Madison Rec Center, 2401 East Colfax, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So, you know, I thank God for everything he's done for me and for the people at the camp. And we look forward to having a blessed camp. And we look forward to having a good time for the next 2 weeks.
Alvertus Simmons, we'll have you back. I really appreciate you joining me today here on the program.
Bring me back with Richard so we can
absolutely
go back and forth.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward. We'll do that this summer. That'll be coming up.
Alvertus Simmons,
everybody. Again, SFYCBasketballCamp.com. As we wrap up the program, want to give you a heads up that if you are attending the Western Conservative Summit, get tickets at 710knus.com. It's sponsored by Newstalk 710knus and, of course, the Centennial Institute presenting the 2023 Summit. Again, 710knus.com. I'll be filling in for George Brockler and doing my show, both 6 a.m. both days, live from the summit. So be sure to stop by the 710KNUS booth if you are there and say hi. 6 to 10 on Friday morning and 6 to 9 on Saturday morning. Means I got to get up extra early to get down to the convention center. But we'll have a great time. It's going to be an absolute blast again this coming Friday and Saturday, 710knus.com. Stephen Tubbs warming up in a bullpen. I think I'll be sticking around with Stephen for the opening segment. We'll talk a little bit more about the clown show that we saw last night at the Denver Public Schools board meeting. And I really hope that the message that Alvertus has been sharing with us about showing basic respect for those with whom you disagree, about recognizing your role as leaders in modeling appropriate behavior, modeling good, responsible behavior, and frankly, civil discourse. I look forward to having Alvertus back on issues where maybe we are not so in agreement. I'm sure there are a lot of things. He's laughing over here. So I'm sure there's a lot of things that we disagree on. And you know what? That's fine. That's okay. That's what it's about. It's how you conduct those exchanges of ideas and express your disagreement that matters. Stephen Tubbs coming up. That's it for me today. See you Friday and Saturday. Have a great rest of your week. My thanks to Deborah Flora, who will be back tomorrow. And may God bless America.
Never give up. Never surrender.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.